Mrs. Krejci. Ms. Peebles, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. May I approach?
You may approach, and you may proceed.
May it please the court. My name's Edith Peebles, and I'm the privileged representative of Mark Krejci. He's the appellant in this case. The history of this case is that Mark's son Aaron died very unexpectedly and at a young age in 2014. He leaves behind him two minor children, Jordan, a female, she was born in 2002, November, and a male son, Kenyon, who was born in June of 2006. Their mother, Christina, is the appellee in this case, and immediately following Aaron's death, she was not helpful in the fostering of Mark's relationship with these two young children. He sought and successfully championed an order for grandparent visitation. This order was forged at a time when Christina was not the primary parent, and depending on whose credibility you believe at the time of the trial before, or the time of the hearing on contempt before the Honorable J. Michael Coffey, she was in a rehabilitation center. Her mother, Lorenza Moore, was at the time the legal guardian. The stipulation that was reached at that time between the legal guardian of these children and the father was considered by the father, the grandfather, excuse me, Mark, to include an order that spelled out the government of their conduct as well as the rights of the parties. He understood it would be respected. He understood it would be enforced. Furthermore, he understood that not only was this an agreement between the parties, but between the parties and the court. And he believed the court was bound to enforce it for the benefit of an interested party and for the protection, in fact, of the court's own dignity. Mark's rights were set out in an order executed by the Honorable J. Russell Durr, December 7, 2016. His rights included quarterly visits. And after advance notice to the biological mother and acceptance of an offer for visitation on May 19th and 20th, Mark, relying on that agreement with Christina, purchased tickets for himself, his wife, and Addison, another grandchild, to travel to Omaha. The visitation set up was memorialized in an email and text series that went over about a month. Friday after arrival, Mark was notified the visit was terminated. From Mark's lens, Christina's, as the parent, should produce the children for the visit, and instead she failed to. She reported this failure after he had spent considerable money and time to facilitate the visit, to which she had agreed, up to and until the day before she decided to terminate it. She never explains in any of the testimony before Judge Coffey how a month in advance of this visit there was no barrier, and how when Mark came to visit, there suddenly was a barrier.
Well, isn't her position that the kids just wouldn't go?
Her position was that the children did not want to attend.
How old are the children at this time?
At that time, they were 15 and 11.
And if children of that age just refuse to go, can we say that her conduct in not seeing that the visitation happened was willful and contumacious?
I think that she had a duty, Your Honor, to produce those children and to encourage them to go. And in fact, what she did was abdicate her job and let them decide whether they wanted to go. And we don't even know what the position of the male son was because he wasn't present in court and wasn't called on to testify. And it was only by assumption that Judge Coffey drew on what his wishes were, if you think they're relevant.
What's our standard of review?
The standard of review is de novo. There must be a finding that Judge Coffey abused his discretion. But not only that, on the contempt finding, he went on to modify the rights of Mr. Krejci. So he took it upon himself, without notice and hearing on a modification, to eviscerate Mr. Krejci's rights. without evidence, without a finding there was a material change in circumstances, and without a finding that it was in the best interest of the children.
Counsel, how much of the visitation period was lost because of the position taken by the children? Was the entire period of visitation forfeited, or just a period of it?
No, ma'am, the entire period was forfeited because of the children, allegedly, the children's position. In addition to that, had Mr. Krejci known, and as is demonstrated in the evidence, particularly at Exhibit 9, there could have been a recalibration. His son, the alleged reason was the death of his son, and they wanted to privately grieve. The son of Mr. Krejci had been dead now for 4 years, so this was a new presentation on the part of the children and the mother. In addition to that, there's clear evidence that it could have been recalibrated. If the children wanted some time on Saturday, the grandfather could have seen them on Sunday and
Monday. Was this in the course of the visitations pursuant to the initial grandparent decree, visitation decree? Was this a singular event?
Yes, ma'am,
it
was.
It had gone okay enough before this. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, ma'am. All of that is accurate.
Okay. So and now moving from the contempt issue to the modification issue, what is your client's position about why that is an error?
Well, looking at the jurisprudence all set out in our brief, I think there's a two-part analysis that Judge Coffey would have had to have found, and that would include that there was a material and substantial change in circumstances, which he made no finding of, and in addition to
now,
that...
Now, are you following some statute? Can you tell me what you're referring to, please?
Yes, ma'am, I certainly can. Pierce versus Bowles, as well as the statutory construction that's recited in my brief.
And this is a fair statement. Grandparent visitation is a creature of statute, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So take me to the statute that supports...
43-1802.
Which subdivision?
Your Honor, I did not bring that exact. I believe it's the third part, and I can tell you in one moment.
So assuming it's the third part, which was the part that deals with modification of
yes,
grandparent
ma'am.
Visitation, in your view, what does that statute subsection require in order to have a proper modification?
It would require that there was notice of a modification.
And,
in addition
and
to that.
On what language do you rely that there be a notice?
That there is a... the court may modify an order granting or denying such visitation upon a showing that there has been a material change in circumstances which justifies such modification and that the modification would serve the best interests of the child.
So the statute requires a showing.
Yes, ma'am.
Other statutes with respect to visitation, as in parent visitation, require a hearing and notice. This does not. It says that you have to have a showing.
That's the exact wording the court
okay.
is.
All right.
Precisely correct.
Okay. So therefore, did the trial judge fail to engage in having a showing?
Undoubtedly. And in fact, when I tried to offer evidence about the beneficial and substantial relationship with the grandfather and how it furthered the children's interests, he continually sustained the objections of my thoughtful and competent colleague, Mr. Grossman. I would refer the court to line items 10, or page 10, line item 12, page 17, line item 11, page 19, line item 25.
So what evidence is there in the record that this modification was in the best interests of the children?
Absolutely none. From the perspective of the appellant, absolutely none. The daughter testified the court letter with questions, and it was clear after my objections under Martin v. Martin, where I alleged that proposed that the child should not be brought in. The court allowed her to be brought into the courtroom, and the court conducted the hearing. And it was brief. And there is only scant evidence before the court. So we don't, from the lens of the appellant, there is absolutely no showing that it's in the best interest of the children. In fact, one of our, to the Judge Miller-Lehrman's question earlier, we had a large photo array that presented the last 2 years of substantial events between an interface and integration between the grandfather and the minor children, and that was also denied as far as an evidentiary tool for the court to consider.
So what specifically would you like this court to do?
Reverse the lower court's decision.
And go back to the original grandparent plan?
Absolutely, Your Honor. If you don't, I can assure you that this court will have created a permanent barrier. I wrote in my closing remarks, which I know I have very little left, the composition and dynamics of family coming to the court today are vast. Mark's he is the grandfather, and he desires to carry on that chain link fence with these grandchildren.
The visitation wasn't entirely eliminated, was it?
No, it wasn't, but it was cut in half. And to him, that is substantial. And again, the minor son was not even examined, nor was he present. So any type of conjecture that can be said about what he did or the court concluded what he desired is only that, conjecture.
But you didn't want the children to testify.
That's true.
Thank you.
I'll reserve any time I have, which may be none.
I believe it's none, but yes, thank you very much.
Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
Mr. Grossman, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Your Honors. My name is Barry Grossman. I represent the appellee this morning, Christina Critchie. Your Honors, the evidence of contempt, there was no evidence of contempt. And this had to be a clear and convincing evidence standard. The cases that the appellant relied on, these facts are so much different than this. This is a situation in which that we've got a mother who has two children who historically encouraged the visitation with the grandparents. This time, because the day that the grandfather chose apparently had a large impact on these children because it was the birthday of their deceased father. So when Christina approached the kids with regard to the visit, they refused. So she was faced with these kids who were angry, upset, wanted to stay alone. At one point, they basically said, "Mom, we don't even want to see you." The trial court judge had the opportunity to not only hear the testimony of the grandmother as well as my client, Christina, but also the testimony of Jordan, the oldest child. When she found out that the visit couldn't occur because these kids just refused to go, she contacted the grandfather, she contacted the wife of the grandfather, and let them know what was going on.
Did she not discuss this with the children prior to that weekend?
We don't know what she did discuss with the children, but I think based on what she was testifying to and as far as how she was appearing when she testified, I think she was surprised that these kids just refused to go.
Was the oldest child in high school at that time?
I don't believe so. However, the testimony of Jordan, when the judge did have her talk to him and he interviewed her, she said that she didn't want to go with the grandfather. She didn't want to be forced. She said that it was her dad's.
But she was involved in activities.
She was involved in activities. She was trying to get her driver's license.
Those activities mean that her schedule would have had been checked before the agreement would have been made to have this weekend allowed to her visitation, correct?
These were plans that she wanted to make instead of going on the visitation.
So I'm saying she's involved in other activities.
Absolutely.
Which would have been going on during this period as well.
I would think so, yes.
This was a weekend visitation as opposed to the lengthier visit in the summer. Right?
It was a Saturday to a Sunday.
And then the young lady talked about, if I have lengthy visits in the summer, I can't do whatever, driver's ed or cheerleading and things of that nature.
That's correct. And I also believe that
But not with respect to this particular incident.
Correct. I think the main reason why these kids, or at least Jordan, did not want to go was because it was the anniversary of her dad's birthday.
Is it your position that a parent can never be found in contempt of court for failure to comply with a parenting plan or a grandparenting plan if the kids simply refuse?
No, I think that they have to encourage it. But I don't think that the court can hold her responsible for contempt.
That was my question.
When the rule is it has to be willful disobedience. This is not willful in any way.
Well, in what situation then would it, where do you draw the line? Where would it be willful? Through your lens, when would a parent willfully fail to comply with a parenting plan because the kids refused to go?
I would base it on the facts in some of the cases that were in the briefs. Martin, which is one of the holdings that I hold on to with regard to the standard with the judge changing a modification order or a grandparent visitation rights. In that, the court held that there was some veiled attempts by the parent to say, you can do whatever you want. But that's not what we have here. This is a case in which this mother historically, continually encouraged these kids to go. There is no evidence that she did anything to stop this visitation from happening. And I think, again, from her perspective, I believe she was surprised when she told the kids, oh, well, your grandfather's here, or your grandfather's coming for your visitation for one night. And I think she was surprised at how they responded to it.
How then is a parent or grandparent who's being denied visitation because the child refuses, how is a parent or grandparent supposed to enforce the parenting plan in that situation?
Well, I think that's what Judge Coffey did. I think what happened is this is a contempt action. This is not a modification. And in this contempt action under Martin v. Martin, the court held that upon filing of a motion, all the affidavit, the show cause, everything that has to be filed in these kind of contempt actions, after notice, after hearing, it states that the court shall enter orders that are reasonably necessary to enforce the right, including modification of previous orders relating to parenting time, visitation, and other access.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but my question was, how would a parent or a grandparent enforce that? And you took me over to modification, how the court might respond. I'm interested in how the parent or grandparent might enforce something like that when their kids or grandkids refuse to go.
I think that, number one, the grandparent needs to be cognizant of what is happening with regard to when that visitation is taken. Maybe give options when he's there. I'm not sure how to answer that other than...
I'm not either. I think that's the problem, right? What is the remedy? How can they enforce it? Is your position that it's simply not enforceable?
I think it's very difficult, especially in the area of, and I didn't mean to interrupt, I think it's very difficult in the area of family law when Justice mentioned that these are older kids. It becomes very difficult for this kind of a situation where a parent's surprised at the... not something that they've done, but they're surprised when the child says, no, I'm not going. How do you force a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old to get out the door?
What if the 15-year-old didn't want to go to the dentist? What would the mother do then?
The mother would say, okay, well, let's schedule a different time, but you're going to have to go to the dentist. You do whatever you need to do, right, disciplinary-wise, to make sure that child gets to the dentist.
But this is the first question on deck is the contempt, and if the trial judge makes some findings, given our standard of review, that the child was, the child that testified, right, made an association of this date with the father's birthday, and that was what triggered the refusal as opposed to the mother encouraging a refusal.
That's correct.
Is there evidence that would support that finding?
I believe that, again, back to that I think this is not a situation in which it had to be a modification standard of substantial
contempt. First, I'm talking about contempt and the three parts of the standard of review of the contempt. And with respect to the finding that, I believe, in words or effect, the mother did not encourage the refusal. The kid refused, the one that was a witness kid. right? Is that a clear,
I believe that's
is
right,
that
Your Honor.
A clear error in that finding, or is there support for that finding?
I think that's clear that that's actually the basis of what we're talking about. But I think for purposes of the standard of review, I believe that there was no abuse of discretion by the judge with regard to his...
That'd be the third question.
Right.
Given the facts as found, was there an abuse of discretion? Okay. What were you going to say, if I may, about modifying within this contempt hearing?
Thank you. I believe that this is not a modification issue. This is a chance for a judge to try to remedy the situation.
Was there a finding of contempt?
There was no finding of contempt.
What do we say in Martin?
In Martin, there was a finding of contempt.
Is that crucial in the modification or the revising of the parenting time? Does that matter?
Justice Funk, I believe that this is, I don't think it does. Based on the reading of Martin, I believe that this is a chance for a judge to make a remedy. And I think this is why, if I may answer my question, I think this is why the judge dismissed the complaint to modify that was filed by my client. Because he did the job. He remedied the situation under Martin. Even though there was no showing of contempt as there was in Martin, he remedied the situation based on what he heard, the testimony, the evidence.
So is that a showing under sub 3
would
permit a modification?
I don't think it comes under that standard, but I think if we had gone down that road, I think there was a substantial and material change of circumstances. We didn't get to that point.
Why do you say you don't think it comes under that provision?
Because I believe that what Martin does, it opens the door where a trial court judge can do a remedy, and it doesn't really matter if there's a showing of contempt or not, because this is kind of that...
I think what we're doing is conflating the requirements to modify in a parent visitation situation and the statutory requirements, but we're not on that in that pigeonhole. We're over here under 1802 on initial grandparent visitation under 2 and modifications under 3. That's what we're looking at.
I understand.
What do you
that,
need
Your
to
Honor.
Do to modify?
I'm sorry?
What would the court need to have before it to properly modify
if it
a
was,
grandparent order?
Would be a mature, under I think the two-part analysis says that there would have to be a substantial material change of circumstances as well as best interest. I believe that's the standard for purposes of a modification of grandparents' rights. And that's under Peer versus Bowles, that's what needed to be shown. We weren't given the opportunity to do that because it was dismissed. But I'm stuck in a catch-22 situation where I believe that the court should affirm the decision of this trial court judge. If it does not, I believe that my client deserved due process procedural rights to be able to prove her case under the complaint to modify.
So do you think this should be remanded to the trial court for some further hearing or showing?
Initially, I believe that it should be affirmed. I think it should be affirmed.
Well, that would take care of all of the things you seek.
I think that would take care of everything, including any type of hearing that would have been required to change the grandparent visitation. But again, I believe Martin versus Martin allows the judge to do that as a remedy.
Was there a hearing actually held on the modification, or was that dismissed without a hearing?
That was dismissed without... the complaint to modify was filed by my client, but after the finding on the contempt, Judge Coffey dismissed that complaint.
So the appellant will have never actually had an opportunity to put on whatever evidence they were planning on presenting at that hearing?
That's correct. But I believe evidence was brought forth in the contempt action.
But that was in a different context?
Absolutely. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. The next case of the day, then, is Anderson versus Babbitt.